This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, your host, Deborah Wolf. And today we're going to talk about dogs and cats. Of course we are. The usual. And a few other animals too, including, going to start with this, a very rare shark was spotted and videoed, and there's footage of it, swimming around right near here, near Vancouver, off Vancouver Island, near Salt Spring Island. And it's called a basking shark. And they were interviewing all these scientists on the news, and they were so excited. These guys are saying it's like seeing Sasquatch or a unicorn to them, because there used to be hundreds and hundreds of these sharks. And now there's only about 100 left in the world, they think. And this thing is huge. The average is about 26 feet. They normally grow to 26 feet long. And they have a big, giant, open mouth that never closes. So they just kind of swim through the water and everything goes in their mouth, and the plankton is what they eat. So they're not a threat to people. But this lady, she's out on a boat kayaking. Of course, you know, couldn't be a big boat, small boat. Dun, 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 dun. And she spots this thing floating in the water, enormous shark. So it's pretty exciting. And they've got the footage. And it just shows you that if you stop hunting a species to extinction and stop killing it, mistakenly thinking it's competing for your fish, if you stop doing all that, maybe eventually they can come back. So it's pretty exciting for people around here. So I wanted to start with that good news story. And there's also some panda bears now at the San Diego Zoo. First time in over 20 years that there's pandas in America from China. So that's pretty exciting stuff. And in a few days, the public will be able to meet them, but they've given the press a little look ahead, a sneak peek. And it's a boy and girl panda, and they look absolutely content. So good news on that score, too. All right, now we're going to dig into some cat and dog facts and information. And I told you a little while ago about a cat called Indy, who's now 13 years old and went missing 8 years ago. 8 years ago. I mean, if you lost your cat, you go out looking, you call its name, you post on Facebook, you call the vets, you hope that if you're lucky enough to have a microchip or a tag on it or an ID tattoo, you hope that someone will find it. You hope a coyote didn't get it. You hope it didn't go missing. You hope it didn't get hit by a car. You hope someone didn't just grab it and keep it forever. You hope all that stuff. But at some point, you start to give up, right? Well, Soner had given up. And then Indy, the 13-year-old cat, shows up at a vet clinic where they, someone found Indy and brought Indy, the girl cat, to a vet clinic, and they checked her out, and she had a chip. So they were able to find the owner 8 years later. He's reunited with his cat. So the cat had been friendly and cared for probably the whole time, had no evidence of being stray or on the loose, which is lucky. But obviously, if it ended up escaping and then being found at least once, and then escaping and being found a second time, there was much opportunity for things to go very wrong for this little cat in the world, especially cars. That, you know, and it went missing in a city, and it showed up in a different city, 165 kilometers away. So that's a lot of travel for a cat and extremely dangerous. So I just wanted to point out, this is a really happy ending, and it's only a happy ending because of the microchip. Otherwise, this guy never would have got his cat back. So the cat had a nickname prior to its big journey 8 years ago. The nickname was Houdini. So I think they had some idea that this cat might escape. And if you have a cat like that, you definitely want to microchip it and ear tattoo it, because not everybody has a microchip reader. And you also probably want to have a collar on it, teach to wear a collar with tags. And then you might even put a GPS tracker on it. They're tiny. Just stick it on the collar. No big deal. There's a lot of ways you can keep your cat safe. But what we don't want to do is have our pet cats escape and become feral cats, outside cats, with a shorter lifespan and all the risks that go with that. So when cats go missing, only 10% are found and reunited with their owners. That's a terrible number. Dogs do way better, 60%. Part of it is that people can't tell one cat from the other. I understand this. When you look, especially if you look at black and white photos of a black cat, very hard to tell if that's your cat. So you want to have a lot of photos for sure. But also, more importantly, ID, ID, ID. Tag those animals. Get them so anyone will recognize their own and return them to you. Okay, we're going to go to break and come back. Talk a little bit more about cats and dogs as we do on the Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And for those of you regular listeners, you may notice my voice is very low today. That is because we have smoke warnings over here. Our area is really suffering from wildfires. And right around where I live, there's no fires, but the smoke is blowing this way and it's in the air and it's affecting everybody. And it's kind of a good reminder that every pet you have needs a carrier. It doesn't matter that your puppy's already house trained or your cat doesn't need it except to go to the vet. You need a carrier for every animal you've got. You might have 3 cats and the likelihood of all 3 of them needing the vet the same day isn't that great. So you might have only 1 carrier. Okay. Sounds good for the vet trip, but not for an emergency, not for an evacuation, not for when, like some of the people just north of Hope had 15 minutes to pack up whatever they had and get out because the fire's on its way. And when the fire's on its way, there's no fooling around. You don't know what's going to happen. The winds can change. It can shift. It can jump. You got to get out of there and you got to grab your pets. So what do? Do you throw cats into a loose car? Really? Then you can't open the windows at all ever and you can shut the door. No, that's not the way to go. Besides which, where are you going with these loose cats? Even a calm, well-trained, easy cat is going to be panicking in a situation like this. There's smoke in the air and people panicking all around and unfamiliar, loud noises. Most cats aren't used to car rides. And on top of everything else, you're stressed, like really stressed. So you need your cat in a carrier. You just do. Okay, so dogs, what if you got a bunch of dogs in a minivan? You don't need to put them in the carriers in the minivan if they all love the car and they all have microchips and tags and they all are wearing collars and they're all trained to come when called and you got a leash for every single one of them and they're wearing it, then you're okay. But you need the crates anyway. You need the crates with you. Now, lucky for us, they designed them so well that you pull the door off and they snap apart. And you could stack them all. So you basically just have an empty box, right? You can put them all together and have an empty box and fill it with whatever, dog food, water, supplies you need, first aid, medicines, vet information, proof of vaccines, whatever. All the stuff you need, you could use it as a storage box. But the thing is, when you get to wherever you're going, if you're lucky, it might be a hotel room. It might be, but it might not be. Your pets may end up in some kind of makeshift shelter that sort of looks like the show on MASH, a big canvas tent with kennels and kennels and kennels and kennels and crates and crates and crates. And if you don't have one for your dog, they've got no place for him. If you don't have one for your cat, where's your cat going to go? It's just not practical. So everybody, please keep your kennels, keep your crates, have them handy. Make sure they're working. You know, some of them have like the pop-off screws and stuff. So if you don't have the screws, okay, have the zip ties to replace them. Be at the ready with this stuff, right? So you can quickly construct your crate and throw your dog in there. When the sirens are going and the smoke is happening and you finally make it to the shelter at the end of possibly a very long trip and you're all thirsty and hungry and tired. If you've got kids with you, you got to take care of them. You need to put your dog in a kennel. You need to put your cat in a crate. So I really strongly recommend that. And I also recommend some basic obedience for everybody. The people who brag about their cat, oh, he hates everyone. You can't touch him. That cat's not going to do very well in a rescue situation. A stranger can't go into your house and grab him, stick him in a crate and save his life. Other people can't care for him while you're unavailable at a shelter or a makeshift shelter. So your cats and your dogs should be reasonably social, right? And they should be able to be touched and handled, fed, spoken to, come when called, listen, know their name. Cats come when called. I know people are probably listening saying, what's she talking about? Well, go to my Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube if you want to see how to teach a cat to come when called. It's really quite easy. And I got to tell you, people, when I work with cats, and I was skeptical initially all those years ago. I thought, I got hired to train a cat for a cat food commercial. And I thought, this is going to be difficult. The same day I was doing dog food commercials and I had the dogs and the cats and everybody ready to go. And I thought, oh my God, I hope they do the dog commercial first, which they did. Got that in the can, all done, ready to go. And I thought, okay, here we go. And actually, it was quicker to teach the cats what they needed to do and do the cat commercial. So cats are super smart. They can learn just as fast as dogs, and they can learn commands just as quickly as dogs, and they can definitely come when called. Now, if you're sitting there listening to me right now and you're thinking, my cat is not a cat who comes when called. Oh, yeah? If your cat's ever had canned food and you turn the noise of the can opener, even a manual can opener that hardly makes any noise, if you just grab the can opener out of the can opener drawer, your cat comes when called. Look at him. He's right below you. He's sitting at your feet, wrapping around your legs. Cats come when called. So I'll probably talk about that next show. I'll do a little obedience thing on how to train a cat to come and maybe shake paw. And you probably need some more serious things coming up. How to train your cat to use the litter box. How to train your cat to stay off the counter. There's a lot we can do with cats, but I do like the fun stuff. I like teaching them tricks. And I like watching people get blown away when I teach their cat a couple of simple dog tricks. And, you know, when you teach a dog, an average dog, it might take 5 or 6, maybe even 10 repetitions before the dog truly knows the trick. And you mix it up a little. Once he gets it right, you reward him and you move on to something else. And then you go back to it and repeat, repeat, repeat until he's really got that trick. Well, with a Border Collie or a Doberman or a Standard Poodle, you need a few less repetitions than the rest of the dog world normally. And some dogs, like terriers, they love tricks. So if you're teaching tricks, they're really fast to learn tricks. Well, I've yet to find a dog who learns faster than the fastest cat. So chew on that while we go to break, dog lovers. All right, stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. We'll be back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I was thinking about when I do radio, I'm kind of isolated in an office with all my equipment. And the cats have figured out that this is the one time when there's no dogs around and I'm still. I'm not moving target. I'm not moving from room to room, from barn to kennel to, you know, all around the farm. I am still. And so they all want to be with me when I'm on the radio. This has been going on for years. Many, many cats over the years have lived long lives, died, and, you know, the next one does the same thing. And what they like to do is sit on the back of my chair, above my head, on the back of my chair while I'm on radio. And one day, years and years and years ago, when I was doing radio, I think it was in the late 90s, I was doing a show and I accidentally locked my office door. It closed. So my cat Tang, who was this big orange cat, orange tabby, he was so frustrated that he meowing and meowing, but I didn't hear him because I was, you know, plugged in and couldn't go to him anyway. It was a live show back then. And I was on the air for quite a while. It was a 59-minute show. And I was able to see from my office window this cat leave the house, walk outside, walk down the deck, climb up a fence, climb over the fence, climb up a tree, all the way up the tree. So he was exactly even with me on the second story of a house and just watched me for the whole show, making me feel so guilty. That's what he did. But, you know, sometimes people think cats are aloof or unaffectionate. And part of that is what we create. Now, I'll probably go into this more in a future show because it's a big topic and we're nearing the end of the show. But if you, it's the same with dogs. If you enjoy something about an animal, you appreciate and you reward it and it makes you happy, you're going to see that thing from the animal again. So if that's a dog being cute or being loving, or, you know, you're going to see that again. But it could be something like he scoots across the floor because he has worms. And everybody laughs and they think it's funny. And you give him his worm medicine. He doesn't have worms anymore, but now he still scoots across the floor because everybody laughed. Well, you get stuff like that with cats. Okay, so one day the cat was pissed off. Someone was irritating it, was too heavy with it or crowding it, or it just didn't want to be dealt with. And it, see, maybe it swatted someone. Well, now everybody thought that was funny and they laughed and they encouraged it. Yeah, you're going to see that again. So sometimes people think cats have these negative traits when really they've taught them. And the thing about aloof cats, I've often, you know, I used to do cat training in people's houses and they'd have me come in and they'd say, oh, don't bother with, you know, Joey. He's not very friendly. We want you to look at Mittens. Mittens doesn't use the litter box. We need help with Mittens. Joey doesn't like people. Don't bother with Joey. Well, during the course of working with Mittens, by the end of the thing, almost always Joey would be on my lap. Joey, who doesn't like anybody. They've forecast that. They've put that into him. You know, Joey does like people. He's just used to people not messing with him anymore or messing with him in a way that irritates him because that's the reaction they're used to getting. So when I meet an aloof cat, it's usually an indication that it's tuned out. It has decided that people aren't worth paying attention to, that they never have anything worthwhile to listen to, that they don't mean anything they say. They don't say anything of significance or consequence. So why pay attention to them anyway? There's nothing in it for me. I'll go to them when I want something and that's it. They've written you off. Why is that? Because most of us don't communicate to them at all. If you show a cat when you walk in a room that you're greeting it, it will greet you back. If you don't force yourself on a cat, but you let it come to you, it will come to you. They're very curious animals. They want to know what the new person smells like and check them out. They want to check out your bag, what you brought, your shoes. You know, they're very curious animals and they have amazing sense of smell and hearing and sight. We always talk so much about dogs and how great they are at everything, but cats are pretty fantastic too. And if you think of, you know, when you think of like the ability to defend oneself, if you make a cat the size of a dog, well, that's a pretty serious opponent. So there are no slouches in terms of the defenses that Mother Nature has given them. They really are an amazing animal. So I know most of my shows are kind of skewed toward dogs because I've been training dogs so long and I live at Camp Good Dog. And I do have a lot more training clients that are dogs than cats. But I think a lot of that is because people have given up on their cats. They don't realize that whatever annoying thing their cat is doing, it can be stopped. Their cat doesn't have to do that. Their cat doesn't have to scratch the furniture, doesn't have to soil the carpets, doesn't have to wake them up in the middle of the night, doesn't have to be ornery with children. Like, there's lots of things that you can work on with your cat. So if you're listening to the show and you've got a cat problem, oh my, please send it to me. Send me your cat problems. You can send it to deb@petliferadio.com and you can send a voice clip or just type it out. Either way, I will read it on the air and I will solve your cat problem. Okay, so I should cover some dog information before we go today. Well, I was telling you about that music festival and was talking about how these people had a puppy. And they had the puppy, they had a very, very, very young puppy, probably 7 weeks, out in a very crowded place with many, many animals. So the puppy could not have been properly vaccinated. That's the first problem. Could have picked up anything. I didn't see if they used the communal bowl provided, you know, with water for all the visitors to the park. But I think they probably did. And that's a no-no. When you have an unvaccinated dog, you don't want him drinking from a bowl everybody's been sharing. They could have Bordetella, kennel cough. They could even have parvo and be carriers or something really nasty. Give it to your dog. So I stay away from those communal bowls anyway. I always take a little, you know, the foldable bowls that you can just, they expand and they collapse and you can pour water in them. They're made of material. I always have those with me. They come with a little hook. That way, I don't need to worry. I mean, would you share a bottle with random strangers, put your mouth on it? No. So don't do that. But they had this dog exposed to so many kids and people. Some of the kids were not gentle. It could have easily sparked long-term fear in this dog. When you get a new puppy, you definitely want to expose it to all the things in your life. You want it to know what's normal, and you want it to be afraid of only what it should be afraid of and comfortable with all the things that are normal in your life. But you can't do it right away. The puppy needs it in little itty-bitty bits, a little taste of children. One or two children invited over to be calm and supervised. Not a blanket with 10 of them running around wrestling when he's only seven weeks old. So you will kind of want to steer things. So every encounter is a positive encounter. There's nothing that hurts him or scares him, nothing that frightens your new little puppy. Everything is controlled and calm, and you work up to the folk festival. There's a dog I know, big white dog, who is an adult dog. It's very unpredictable. And when I see it, it's off leash at places where there's music and people and children and other animals. And whenever I see it there, it's always got like a little red flag from me where I'm watching it. And there's other people who don't bring their dogs anymore because of this dog. And, you know, I didn't know it when it was a puppy, but I've learned that when it was a puppy, the owner brought it to this music situation as a very, very young puppy off leash and just left it. And her idea was that, well, it's got to learn. I'll just throw it into the situation and it will learn. Well, yeah, it did learn. It learned its own way of coping, which is not the way everyone wants. The meet and greet dog who's nice to all other dogs and nice to all other people and is never an issue and would never nip or bite anyone doesn't get that way from just being thrown into things to figure out how to work it out. That's not really the way you work with animals. You want to teach them what you expect from them in your situation and then reward that. And if they're doing naughty attention-getting behaviors, you got to put a lid on that, right? You don't scold those and give those lots of attention. You stop them so they can't do that thing. If they're jumping all over you, you stick a leash on them. So, and you step on it. Now they can't jump. And you tell them how good they are for not jumping. If your cat is attacking you on the stairs, well, you give it way more playtime at a time it can count on so that it's not having to rely on ambushing you when you're going up and down the stairs. And then when it does try to ambush you, you stop that activity. You don't play with it. You don't play footsie with it. So it gets wilder and wilder and wilder until eventually you're bleeding coming down your stairs. No, you grab a toy that it's allowed to play with, one that it loves, and you initiate play that way. So you're replacing the cat's idea. I'm going to attack these legs going down the stairs. This is fun. With, I'm going to attack my cat toy. This is fun. And you can actually get your cats to bring you their toys when they want to play, just like retriever dogs. So let's not underestimate our cats, everybody. And let's get some good ID on them, please. Even though your cat may always stay home and never wants to go out, there's going to be that one time where there's a thunderstorm or a break-in, maybe next door, and all kinds of sirens and weird things going on, or a back door's left open, or a screen door gets cut. There's going to be something where there's a chance your cat could get out. So to make sure yours is one of that 10% that gets returned to you, please microchip, tattoo, and give it a collar with an ID tag. All right, everybody. This has been Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And from me and Animal Party, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.